A very good morning to brothers and sisters of Cornerstone Community Church. As we have now come to the time to meditate on the Word of God, to keep your Bible open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 6 to 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 6 to 13. At this time, I'm reminded about it that a couple of months ago, I had been for a medical test. And there was those anxious waiting moments to get the medical reports. And even today, we see all over of those anxious moments when people have to wait for the results of the COVID reports. So as we look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 to 13, we will be looking into the report that Timothy had brought to Apostle Paul. Verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks can be rendered to God for you, in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God and your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our ways to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So from these verses, we are able to get a theme: the good news of encouragement from Thessalonica. The good news of encouragement from Thessalonica. As we know, because of the legal ban and other hindrances, Paul was prevented from returning to the Thessalonian church. So he sent Timothy. Sending Timothy was both to strengthen them and to investigate also whether or not they have been able to withstand persecution. While Timothy was away, Apostle Paul, he must have been having those anxious moments in waiting for the progress report of the Thessalonian church. Paul's fear vanished when Timothy arrived and brought forth a glowing report of their spiritual growth. Timothy's report of good news, it was the source of the apostles' happiness to shift from anxiety to delight. We see this because the apostle starts this portion of scripture with the word but. The word but changes about everything. Thus we see we have three encouragements in the Thessalonians' response to persecution. Three encouragements in the Thessalonians' response to persecution. Timothy brought good news that the Thessalonians were holding up well against the winds of persecution. And with that good news, Apostle Paul, he is delighted, he is comforted, he prays, and he places his petition before God. So we see that this, the first response. And the first response was to, he was a delighted in Thessalonian spiritual growth. This starts with Timothy's arrival. verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you. Paul's stay at Thessalonica, it was very brief. At the most, only a few months. And from there, he went on to Berea, then to Athens, and then to Corinth. And from Athens, Paul sent Timothy to encourage the Thessalonians. And when Timothy returned to him, he was at Corinth. And the apostle was overjoyed at the news of the strong faith of the Thessalonians. Timothy's report, it was so encouraging to Paul that he describes it as the good news. The gospel report, it was a confirmed positive good news. So after Timothy's arrival, he goes on to describe what the good news is. The good news here is conveyed in four-part report on the Thessalonians' spiritual status to Paul. That is their faith, love, fond memories, and the longing to see Apostle Paul. The first report is their faith, verse 6, and has brought us good news of your faith. Timothy delivered the good news that their faith in God and Jesus Christ, it was genuine. Their faith was not wavering, not doubtful, not weak. Especially, they were not deceived by false teachers. Their hearts had been like the good soil that received the seed of the gospel and bore much fruit. Matthew 13:23. The Thessalonians were away from Apostle Paul. Yet they were faithfully imitating Paul and his fellow co-workers and ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, they were faithful messengers of God's word. They shared the good news of the gospel to the people they came across. Their faith was such that it kind of unlocked the door that provided eternal salvation to the people they came across. This faith was manifested in their lives. And second, we see the report is of their love and love, verse 6. Timothy told Paul the good news about their authentic love for the Lord, which was the clearest evidence that they were Christians. John 8:42, Jesus he tells them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come from God and I'm now here. I have not come of my own initiative, but he sent me. Now these Jews were having difficulty believing in what Jesus was saying, specifically about himself. Now if they were true children of God, they would love Jesus rather than try to kill him. So in contrast, we see regarding the Thessalonian believers, their faith is intact, their love is unbroken. And it's spreading. And it's got the apostle excited about it. The love of God was flowing from the Thessalonians to the brothers, to the co-workers, to Paul and his missionary team. At this point of time, Paul and his team in Corinth, they were having a hard time. Everything is dark and gloomy. And at such a time as this, here comes the good news, this wonderful report. That has encouraged them. The team is encouraged by way of their faith that is standing strong, their love for Paul and his team, and they have fond memories of Apostle and his workers. The third report is their fond and loyal memories of Paul. Verse 6, and that you always think kindly of us. Timothy announced that the Thessalonians always thought kindly of Paul. Paul had this fear that his enemies or the false teachers would draw the Thessalonians away from the truth. But Paul was thrilled to know that the church trusted him, even in his absence. And it was good news for the apostle that they had cherished the memories of him and were still confidently loyal to him and Christ as Christ's true apostle. This shows their spiritual maturity of the Thessalonian church to follow the true gospel. So there's this news of faith, love, loyal memories, and fourth, we see a report of their longing to see Paul. Verse 6, longing to see us. If you remember, Paul took a boat to Philippi, and over there he got whipped in the streets and he was put into prison. Then he went down to Thessalonica, stirred up all kinds of persecution and suffering for Jason and the rest of the people over there. Then he got driven out of there. He had to go to Berea. And it was the same story of persecution in Berea. Then he went all alone to Athens. And in Athens, he was overwhelmed by the idolatry and wickedness in Athens. Then he went 40 miles down the road to Corinth and got thrown out of the synagogue over there in Corinth. Paul sat there in the lowest point of his life. He was pained by the separation from his spiritual children, the Thessalonians. At such a time as this, Timothy walks in and says, I've got good news. The Thessalonians, their affection is so strong, they are longing to see you. But the Thessalonians are excited and standing firm in the Lord. And Apostle Paul rejoiced in this good news. It was a breath of fresh air. Because he was of the impression that only he was longing to see the Thessalonians. As Paul longs to see them, verse 6, just as we also long to see you. Now, Apostle Paul was always in the midst of all distress and affliction, all persecution and pressures. Yet he always longed to visit Thessalonica. Paul rejoiced in the fact that the Thessalonians thought kindly of him. They wanted to see him as much as he wanted to see them. They looked forward to fellowshipping together at the first opportunity. You know, it's like looking forward for the church fellowship to commence as soon as the lockdown is over. Lockdown is lifted. There is this increased longing for us to have fellowship with each other during these gaps. And we know the fact that any amount of audio, video, technology, it cannot replace the face-to-face fellowship of a church. Second response was to be comforted by the spiritual strength of the Thessalonians, verses 7 to 10. Comforted by the spiritual strength. Here we see Paul's statement of comfort. Now he starts by saying, for this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, Paul had been comforted, you know, in spite of distress and affliction. Paul looks at all these distress and afflictions and problems that he has been through. He looks at the suffering and he's calling it as worth it. In spite of distress and affliction, it's worth it to see a church built on the foundation of Christ alone. There were some churches that were unfaithful and they succumbed to sin and false teachers. And Paul was devastated to see them. That was the case of the Corinthian church, over which Paul actually became depressed. We read in Acts 18, Paul had planted the Corinthian church during his prior missionary journey. And he lived in Corinth for at least a year and a half at that time. In contrast, Paul was with the Thessalonian church for only about 3 weeks to 3 months. You know, after his departure from the Corinthian church, the church forgot some of Paul's teachings, misapplied other teachings, and as a result, a number of conflicts and problems rose in the church at Corinth. Paul was indeed disappointed with that negative report. In contrast, Timothy brings a positive report from the Thessalonians. And Paul literally, you know, he begins to live again. You know, Timothy's report encouraged Paul and his co-workers. It lifted up their spirits in the midst of the persecution they were encountering. Verse 7, we were comforted about you through your faith. Paul now continues to be comforted about the Thessalonians because of their faith. Paul was always comforted about the true saving faith of his spiritual children. Even today, it is comforting to hear of the faith of our believers, our friends and relatives when they come to know the Lord with the true doctrine. Will Apostle Paul be comforted to hear about our faith? I hope we are not feeling that our Christian faith has grown stale. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, this particular epistle is the perfect remedy for such a feeling. Its focus is on Christ's return. It provides comfort to our troubled lives by encouraging growth in maturity, by providing hope in the midst of suffering and uncertainty. Next, we see Paul can live if they stand firm in the Lord. Verse 8, for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. We can see the intimacy Paul is having. He was a nursing mother, he's been a father, he's been orphan, and now he says, we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. That is exactly what we can feel about our own children. We know we are living and life is great when our children are standing firm in the Lord. The knowledge that they stood firm in the Lord further, it stimulated Paul to a renewed zeal in his ministry. Now, stand firm, it was a military term meaning not to retreat in the face of an attack. That's what Paul mentions writing the Corinthians. He tells 1 Corinthians 16, 13, he says, stay alert, stand firm in the faith, show courage, be strong. And then we see Paul's gratitude in verse 9. You know, Apostle Paul, he recognizes that all thanks for spiritual progress goes to God alone. The standing firm was produced by God, the strength from God. So we see that Paul's inability to thank God enough. Verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you? You know, at this point, Paul could be, he could be singing, to God be the glory, great things he has done. The Apostle Paul, he acknowledges that his gratitude for the Thessalonians must initially and totally go to God alone. Thus, instead of taking credit for the Thessalonian spiritual progress, Paul gives thanks to God. And the Lord deserves all the credit for what was taking place in the lives of the Thessalonians. We too will be sharing the gospel. Whenever we share the gospel to anyone, the credit goes to God alone. God is at work in the lives of people to perfect His will. Hence we see Apostle Paul's cause for thanks, his joy over them. Verse 9. In return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God and your account. The report of Timothy gave Paul a realization that he had no means to express his thanks. Here, account means on behalf of, not repaying. In the sense here, it is that the work of God in their lives, it produces joy. Paul rejoiced in the work done in the lives of the Thessalonians. The working of God's grace in the lives had made Paul grateful beyond expression. We may faithfully disciple another believer, but God deserves all the credit for what transpires in the individual's life whom we are counseling, in their hearts, in their lives. The third response was to pray for spiritual provision to the Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. Pray for spiritual provision. And even though Paul has the joy and gratitude because of his people, he knows he needs to be in prayer and intercede. And he does that. We see that first we see with the frequency. The frequency is night and day, verse 10. As we night and day keep praying most earnestly. Paul tells the Thessalonians that he prays with all his strength both during the day and at night. So Paul's prayer, it was a constant, it was enthusiastic. The frequency of his intercession for them, it was night and day, and he did it most earnestly, sincerely. Paul understands that their lives are still not yet perfect and that his ministry among them is incomplete. This was a young church which still needs to grow spiritually and to increase their knowledge of the spiritual truth. They had not yet reached that spiritual maturity, but they made a good start towards that goal, holding on fast to the teachings of the apostles. They were like little babies that needs to grow up. We also need to grow up spiritually and not remain as a little spiritual babies. For this reason, Paul prays regularly and earnestly, day and night. Now he was not just praying superficially. What was intentional, and his concerns were genuine. Now sometimes we also say, I'll pray for you. Do we offer such prayer to somebody and then forget to pray, follow up with them, check out if how they are, the prayers are answered? Paul here is earnest, and he remembers people for whom he prays for. And Paul's content is to see their face. Verse 10, that we may see your face. He intercedes with a sincere intercession to God so that he may have opportunity to minister to them again. The immediate goal was that he may see their face to supply instructions that was right away, instructions that were needed, an emergency. Such a face-to-face would give Paul the opportunity to increase their faith. Paul would communicate, he would talk to them, communicate with them from a distance, you know, with his co-workers, send messages, send letters, but he wanted to be with them personally. Christians, simply put, want to be with fellow Christians. After all, when we love a friend or family member, we want to spend quality time with each other. Thus, we want to spend quality time with fellow believers. Believers want to spend quality time with fellow believers. It does indeed make a big effort, indeed, to visit Christians, meet them face to face. It's a big effort that we should make, go all out. And the purpose of meeting should be to build one's faith, to encourage one another, to persevere in faith. That's what Paul's purpose is. To adjust any shortcoming in their faith of the Thessalonians. Verse 10, and may complete what is lacking in your faith. The ultimate goal was to complete whatever was still lacking in their lives before God. Paul wanted the young church to come to its full potential for which he prayed and he labored. He wanted them to nurture them. He wanted them to grow so that they would grow strong in their faith and become more like Christ. Sometimes some of us too could be lacking in our faith. Where can we go for a top up of our faith? Or where can we go for a recharge of our faith? We need to have our lives recharged continuously by his word. Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect and preserves one's life. The rules set down by the Lord are reliable and impart wisdom to the inexperienced. Psalms 19:7. We need to spend more time reading and studying God's word. Are we reading and studying the word of God again and again and again? We need to get into God's word daily and start positioning ourselves to grow in our faith. We need to fill up the gaps in whatever is lacking in our faith. Now, Apostle Paul spoke about prayer, and now at this juncture, he breaks into a deeper prayer of intercession. And for us, it's so great a privilege for us to see these verses that record the Apostle's prayer for our instructions and approval. Certainly, Apostle Paul's goal was to model prayer into the lives of the Thessalonians and into our lives, that God may direct his ways to them to provide discipleship. Verse 11, Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord. Paul includes the Thessalonians in his petition and addresses the prayer to God and Father and Jesus our Lord. The linking of the Father and the Son are frequent in the epistles, and it emphasizes the equality in divine nature between God and Father and Jesus the Son. The fact that Paul directs his prayer to both the Father and Jesus, whom he calls Lord, shows that Jesus is as much God as the Father is God. Now, by calling God our Father and Jesus our Lord, the emphasis is unmistakably, it is unity of the Father and the Son in the Godhead. The Father and Son are equally sovereign and perfectly agree in all matters. God came down to be intimate with us and has been a gracious, loving, forgiving Father. Jesus ascended to heaven's throne to be the sovereign Lord of the Thessalonians and each one of us who believe in him. This indicates that the Holy Spirit is also in perfect agreement. Romans 8:27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saints according to God's will. We are never alone. God gives his Spirit to everyone who trusts in Christ. And the Spirit of God intercedes for us. Thus we can confidently direct our prayers to either or both, as the Father and or the Son. Verse 11, direct our ways to you. Paul was not concerned about giving the gospel, but he was additionally concerned with their sanctification, their purity, their holiness, their growth. Thus Paul prayed to the Lord Jesus to direct his ways to the Thessalonians. The word direct conveys the idea of laying out a straight path with all the obstacles removed. Paul was ministering under a divine mandate to teach the truth, which meant feeding them scripture so they could mature, grow in it. If you remember in Thessalonians 2:18, we saw the apostle was praying for the removal of obstacles placed in his way, the trenches. He was praying for guidance and open doors for his way to be directed. We also need to pray for guidance and open doors for our ways to be directed, especially for discipleship. That the Lord might cause them to excel in love, to provide servanthood. Verse 12, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love. The apostle knew that genuine believers always exhibit love. Therefore, he prayed that the Thessalonians' growing faith would be accompanied by a prospering love. Paul asked the Lord to cause the Thessalonian love to grow. It indicates he depended on God for the development of spiritual virtues. Paul prayed in these verses to express his strong desire that the Lord would keep on increasing the Thessalonians' love, their love to overflow or spill over. And this was by way of praying towards one another. Verse 12, for one another. To love God and love our brothers and sisters in Christ is a primary necessary virtue for all believers. It is mandatory. The disciples of Christ will have to love one another. There's no escape. That's the way we exhibit our love. We can't love God and at the same time be hating our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why Paul prayed to the Thessalonians that they would increase and abound for one another in love. Agape, in that love, which is the purest and the noblest. Agape is active. It demonstrates love through action. Paul, he asked that their love would increase and abound for one another. That is within the church. I'm sure that we are also praying for one another within our local church. Even as we are praying towards all men, verse 12, and for all people. Apostle prayed that their love for all people, it would increase. He wanted them to have a greater love for the lost. And even for those who are persecuting them. Jesus commanded his disciples, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. The New Testament commands all people into pursuing peace, doing upright, being patient, praying, showing consideration, honoring all people. We need to pray that all people will be delivered from evil. I know the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Even as Apostle Paul does towards them, verse 12, just as we also do for you. To provide them a practical example of love, Paul told the Thessalonians that they should love, just as he also loved them. God told the Thessalonians when they were strangers, God loved them and us when we were strangers. God loved them and he loved us when we knew nothing of what the gospel was. God sacrificially brought the good news to them and to us. Now, Paul's love serves as a model for all believers. Just as much Jesus, the good shepherd, demonstrated his love for the lost. He illustrated this love by telling a story about a shepherd who left his 99 sheep to rescue one lost sheep. And he brought it to safety, to the fold, and he called his neighbors to rejoice with him. Luke 15, 1-7. The shepherd reached out to the lost. As Christians, we should love God, love one another, love the lost, even as we reach out to the lost. That their hearts might be blameless in holiness. To provide assurance. Verse 13. So that they may establish your hearts without blame in holiness. The final object of Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians is that they might look into the future and live in such a hope that they will establish their hearts without blame in holiness. Establish the Thessalonians believers' heart blameless, that is to be assured in holiness for the return of Jesus with all his saints. Paul did not pray that they would be sinless but blameless, free from all valid accusations. No one can attain this sinlessness in this life. The Apostle Paul, who led a holy life, he recognized that he was a sinner. In 1 Timothy 1:15, after writing that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul adds, of whom I am the foremost. He did not say that he had been a sinner, not a past tense. He says, I am the foremost sinner. Present tense. All human beings are sinners. They are either lost sinners or saved sinners. Paul strongly desires that God will strengthen his readers' faith so that they will be without blame in holiness. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians makes it clear that every Christian is expected to grow in holiness over the course of his life. If he doesn't grow, he stagnates. May our hearts and lives be pure, clean, righteous, and be able to withstand temptations. Only then we can eagerly look for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All this is before whom? Before God our Father. Verse 13. Without blameless in holiness, before our God and Father. Before God, the Thessalonians should be holy, separated to God in their hearts and habits. Now, Paul wanted all the elect to be pure and have nothing to do with the worldliness. Thus, holiness, it is the mark of those who will participate in the second coming of Christ. God has given us salvation. He has given us grace, love, faith. He has given us holiness, given us a new heart to be blameless at the second coming of Christ. But we need to zealously guard our lives, guard the holiness that God has given us. Because all of us must come before Christ the judge. Before when? Before his coming. Verse 13. At the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. When Paul wanted to encourage Christians, you know, he did not say that their breakthrough was round the corner, deliverance is round the corner. He didn't say no more suffering. Instead, he helped them to make sense of their suffering in the light of the coming reign of Christ. If we suffer with Christ, we will reign with Christ the Lord. It was always Paul's strong desire that God will strengthen the Thessalonians so that they will be separated for him, kept holy for him, so that they will be presentable, you know, without any accusations when Jesus returns. Paul adds, with all his saints. When Christ comes in the air to catch away his church, the souls of the departed Christians will accompany him to receive their resurrected, glorified bodies. As Christians, we need to live in such a way that we will soon stand before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Saints is literally holy ones. Used in Zechariah 14:5, Mark 8:38, Jude 14. Paul uses it, he uses it almost exclusively to refer to believers. When Christ returns, he will be accompanied by his holy angels and also the believers who have died. And we who are living will be caught up to meet the Lord at this glorious company in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. We will always be with the Lord. Apostle, in his brief pastoral prayer for his beloved Thessalonians, he petitions that God perfects their faith, hope, and be presentable in all holiness. Some thoughts. God is faithful to those who suffer for his sake. There is assurance even for those who put their trust in Christ and joyfully embrace persecution. God will strengthen us, keep us blameless for the judgment day. Jesus is coming again, and after the rapture of his bride and the church, he will judge all his believers. Just think about this. We will meet Jesus without being shy or embarrassed when we see him face to face, even before the judgment of the believers. This is if we have lived a holy life with him while on earth, if we have aimed to please him in this life. And because of this, we may have been mocked, ridiculed by friends and others. Then we will not be afraid to face our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. We will long to see him face to face. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy scriptures, Lord. Thank you for the truths they contain and the lessons that we learn from them. Guide us into all truth and help us to abound in love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help each one of us to stand firm in the faith, and may our hearts continue to be established in the truth of the gospel of Christ, so that we may stand blameless before you in holiness and in virtue at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with all his holy saints. This we ask in his holy name. Amen.